We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming in our friend and regular Tuesday visitor, writer and Zulu warrior, Colin Fleming. Hello there, Colin.
Hey, what's up? You know something funny? When I first came on the show back in the ancient days of 2017, and I'd be doing other stuff while you were going through the commercials and everything, I would hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I'd think, oh no, I'm not so keen on this multi-hued billing he's giving me. But now I realize it's something quite different.
No, I mean, because you're good. There's no bad, there's no ugly.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, we could have the awesome, the tremendous, and the amazing, and that would be our introduction to you each week.
I think Zulu Warrior is a pretty good honorific for now.
Well, there's no question about that. And today, you're going to help us destroy the internet.
Oh, I wish that I could, my friend, because the internet is destroying us more perniciously, I believe, than anything there has ever been. Any mass destruction of war, any other form of technology, I think if we are not careful, it is basically going to grind the individuality, which is to say being human, out of humanity.
And we all know it. And yet, have people ever been more lemming-like than they are in spending countless minutes, hours, days in something they know is probably not very good for their peace of mind and well-being?
Do you think we all know it? I hope we all know it. But do you really think people do?
I think most people do, but clearly not everybody, because as we've seen, sometimes we give people way too much credit, but I think most people get it.
So it's almost then like you're a dog and you're put inside of this room and it's just this meat locker. There's meat everywhere. If you're a dog, you probably know it's not in your best interest to just power through all of that meat when you're sick and you die. Nonetheless, the dog is going to have at it. So we're a bit like that with computers and the internet. And the thing about the internet is it could have gone one of two ways. And one of those ways could have been glorious. I think about what would have happened if the ancient Romans, for instance, had the internet. Think of what you can do with the internet. Let's pretend it snows this weekend. You're inside. There's not a lot going on. Your lady done just left you. You're there by yourself. What are you going to do? You can just in an afternoon, you can go on YouTube. And you can, oh, I'll see what the fuss is with Joy Division, and I'll listen to this show of theirs from Liverpool in 1979, and you can see what the fuss is with Mozart and go through whatever you want there. You can learn about baseball history from baseballreference.com. You can go through for free. You don't have to pay any money. Van Gogh's letters, which are there in full on the internet. If you don't know what a word means, you don't even have to get your lazy hindquarters off the couch and pull up a dictionary. You can just pull it down from your phone. You can get the complete etymology of that word. The things that you can do so easily with constant corner cutting to broaden your mind blow my mind. Now, think about what you would have done if you were in like 1723 and you wanted to learn something. Yeah, you have to get the horse, you have to feed it, right? You have to all go through these things to go into town, to maybe find the library if there's one there. When I was a kid, it'd be Saturday morning, and it was a chore. I remember tugging at, like, my parents' sleeves after the Smurfs were over. I don't really want to sit through the shirt tails. Take me to the library. I would like to get some new entertainment. And now people have it right in front of their increasingly zaftig faces, and they just use it to leech the humanity out of their soul.
And remember the promise of the internet in those early days. It will connect the globe. No one will be lonely anymore. You'll reach out and find a community of right-thinking people out there that you can connect with. And instead, people can't even be troubled to open the poorly written, inaccurate article that they find on Wikipedia. They just read the first line and think they have the answer and then go on Facebook and piss off everybody in their family. That's how we're using this incredibly amazing tool.
Well, there's certainly Bray on Facebook, and the internet is becoming, for most people, inimical to growth. But on top of that, think of what it does subtly. People have to stare into things that glow because they can't be alone with their thoughts. When you can't be alone with your thoughts, you can't come up with new thoughts to occupy you. And yet, reality is like the tide. Like a super version of the tide. It never stops coming. It is going to do what it is going to do, whether you like it or not. So while you are frozen in place and increasingly unable to process thoughts, come up with thoughts, create solutions to things you're going through, reality keeps throwing itself at you. And you can't compete with that. So you end up becoming increasingly depressed. You do not have a default mechanism that allows you to take on what you need to take on headlong. And so you bunker down even more with the technology. And you are not reaching out to the artists on the technology who are right there. Oh, look, it's some Beatles outtake. That gives me a whole different vantage point of a day in the life. You don't do that. You just sit there and you become not only increasingly unhappy, but now you become this Janus-faced individual who has to expend the energy to maintain a dual existence. Because you have to take to these platforms and pretend, even though you're dying inside, that you are much happier than you are. And that just waylays you. That takes so much time, effort. It requires so much stress to put this self out there that's not even you. So now, basically, you are carrying around this alter ego, and you can't give up the ghost of the alter ego story. And it's very draining, and you're not learning anything. You're not equipping yourself with solutions, and you're just kind of this puddle heading towards a drain all the time, rather than something in a current that's free-flowing.
It also amazes me as a teacher and as a parent that this generation of parents that are so worried about everything out there in the world that they can't let their kids walk around the corner to get to the playground or go visit their best friend without being escorted like the military police are with them, and yet will send those same children off to the internet unguarded, unprotected, all alone.
Hansel and Gretel. And it's like, hey, there's this oven. Want to hang out in the oven? It is awesome. It beckons. Don't you dig this? And think about the things that, from your own youth and from my youth, the things that we did, well, they're like considered in many ways wrong right now, no doubt. And you look at some of them and it's like, well, it's kind of stupid to be doing that on a bike that time at night without a helmet on, cars doing what they were doing and that sort of thing. But most people survive. They survived in the terms of the external physical world, and I think they grew in the internal mental world. When you just throw your child out there into this free-for-all where people speak of fake news doesn't really matter. Facts, fake facts don't really matter, because what people tend not to focus on is that there is something that pulls rank on facts and news that is far more important as the great sort of actuary of human life. And that's truth. Truth will always be the fact or news. And the internet, many times, used the way people use it, is anti-truth. And it's anti-cogitation. We normally have to find our own way to truth. And when you start that journey, you're groping in the dark a bit. Like you're in this room, you woke up in the dark, it's not normally where I stay, it's this inn by the sea. You have to find the light switch, and then you can make your way throughout the rest of the house. That journey never stops. It becomes a little easier for us. Our eyes adjust to the dimness, but we're just dimming more and more all the time. Now, there's a term in painting called scumbling. You paint something, and you think, oh, that's really realistic. That looks great. And then you add this veneer to it that makes it less in focus, less bright the colors. That's what the internet is. It's this kind of scumbling of reality to the point where there's a scrim up between you and reality. And then you have to self-medicate, have some beers, go on the internet, and either bray at people with your political opinions, which aren't well thought out because you're not good at the cogitating, or just like, I am so happy today, and think, oh, I made it through another day. I'm still here. Getting off myself.
But there is a right way to use the internet. So help us out a little bit. What are some ways you could take advantage of this great resource and not make yourself yet more depressed, more isolated, more distant from reality?
The internet has been a massive boon for me. If anyone knows my career or just pokes around a little bit, you're going to be confused because you're going to say, wait, how is the guy who writes on art, who does opinion pieces, who is the literature expert, who writes on films from the 1920s, how is that person doing all of that? Now, you have to have a certain degree of ability, and you have to have a kind of didactic recall. But additionally, you have to find tools that allow you to encounter that information in the first place. And today, for instance, I listened to a Tina Brooks album. Who's Tina Brooks? He is a great jazz, was a great jazz tenor saxophonist in the late 1950s, dead now, and cut a session for Blue Note. Just listen to that. It's one of my favorite artists. I haven't listened to it in a while. I'm going to listen to this again with 35 minutes out of your life. Listen to a Orson Welles radio broadcast today while I was doing some reading of J.P. Dunleavy's Fairy Tale of New York, which, again, was just online. You just need to be able to work. I like to put a definite article in front of this. The Google. You just have to type in. It's all out there if you know to search. It's right there. It's waiting for you, and it takes like an hour, and then you can be that smart person who is like more clever than your friends, and then your friends think, I don't want to be the dumbass who's left behind. I'm going to learn some things too.
It's also, you know, I've been doing this radio show for whatever it is, almost 8 years now, and fortunately doing this in the internet age has made research and preparation so much easier. I mean, if I'd been doing this show 25 years ago, I would not be able to do what I do because that information would have required going to a library, going through, who knows, microfilm, microfiche, and in some cases never being able to find it at all. But yeah, if you've got a guest coming on that did something obscure 40 years ago, you can watch it, you can read it, you can listen to it because it's all out there.
Boom, it's right there. You don't even have to stand up. It is right in front of you. And I think the key part of that, though, is you have to be somebody who is self-aware enough to realize that you can't exist within the echo chamber. You basically have to be Fred Rogers rather than Henrietta Pussycat. Like, Fred Rogers is like, this is my living room. This is the real world. This is where stuff happens. It's like, okay, here goes my magic trolley into this place where you have Henrietta Pussycat, who doesn't know anything else. It's like, meow, 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 right? She's just in there. She has no idea. Thinks she's going to get a date with King Friday. It's not realistic. Not going to happen. And she doesn't have that mind-body split, that inner and outer kind of existence, which is what you need to have. You need to view the internet as the condensed, portable, magic elfin library right in front of you. And then you need to get off your ass and go for a jog. Get something in your mind. Think about the things that you just saw or heard or read or that you're looking forward to later. Oh, I'm going to learn all about film noir. When you go on that run, let them sink in. Get some, air yourself out. Air out your mind so other things can pass through it.
Sage advice, as always, from Colin Fleming. Check out all of Colin's work at ColinFlemingLit.com. Always feel a little smarter after we talk, my friend. Thank you, as always.
Okay, thank you.
You're better than the internet.
Yeah.
Top three, anyway. We'll see you next week. Colin Fleming on Downtown.